Matthew 13, we're going to be looking at 45 through 52. And I want you to stand again. Matthew 13, 45 through 52. Beginning in 45. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went, sold all that he had, and he bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up on the beach and they sat down and gathered the good fish in the containers, but the bad they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels shall come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. May God bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated this evening. Go up to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 36. Let's go back to 36 for just a moment. And I want you to go back and I want you to look at what the Scripture says here. He had been speaking to the multitudes with these parables for quite some time, and he spoke about the tares and the wheat. He spoke about the mustard seed. He spoke about the leaven, about the kingdom of heaven, by the way, which is one of the only places where leaven is used as a good thing. In Matthew chapter 13, he speaks about those things to the multitudes. Then, in verse 36, he's by himself with the disciples. And the disciples, he is going to convey these next few parables to them, because the disciples had a very important job. And the disciples' job was to convey to the world the true treasure, and that was who? Jesus Christ. The gospel message. And so Christ Jesus sets them apart, and I want you to see this, what he's doing here in verse 36. This is before the wheat and the tares were explained, but look at what it says in 36. Then he left the multitudes, he went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. Jesus, by himself, alone, speaks to his disciples. This is important for us to see, because he is going to share with them and impart godly wisdom, kingdom wisdom to them that they are going to need to work in the capacity that they were called to work in, or going to be called to work in the very near future. And so this was important that Jesus have them to the side, that he spend time with them. But I want you to see in 36 that the disciples came to him and wanted the parables explained. Why? Because they were seeking, weren't they? They sought godly wisdom. They sought it. They wanted to know it. And so Jesus, when they asked this question, then Jesus says, okay, you want to know? I'm going to give you what you want to know. How does that apply to us? Very simple. If you want to know the mysteries, if you want to know the kingdom of heaven, if you want to know the preciousness of Christ, if you want to know the pearls of Scripture, if you want to know these things, all you have to do is ask, and He will give it. Plain and simple. It's about wisdom. It's about wisdom. And if you never ask for it, you'll never receive it. If you never seek for it, you'll never find it. The Scripture in Proverbs tells us that it stands on the corner and it shouts out to anybody that will listen. It's all over the place. It's around us everywhere. So Jesus, he gathers up his little ducklings, his little disciples, and he takes them off and he And he begins to explain these parables to him, to them. And so the first one that he explains is the tares. The tares is explained here because they ask. From there, he moves on, and you're going to see the tares come back up here with the dragnet, a very similar parable to the where the tares are explained, the dragnet from 47 to 49. You're going to see where that's going to come back up here in just a moment. But Jesus separates them out from the rest of the multitude, and he begins to impart to them kingdom wisdom. He moves on to speak about the hidden treasure that we went over last week. Then he speaks about the costly pearl. And then he goes on to a dragnet. And the one thing I like about a dragnet is Christ, he spoke to them in ways that they could understand, because the majority were simple fishermen. These were simple men. They knew what a dragnet was. And so Jesus uses these illustrations to convey his heavenly truths, as Jerry just said. These easy stories to convey deep heavenly truths. And it's the way that Christ speaks. I told Casey earlier before I came over here that Jesus was the best at this. How he can roll all of these into one and still impart new wisdom each time is just, it's amazing to see as these parables unfold. And when you think about the text and what these last three parables deal with, they deal with work that people do within the kingdom, for the kingdom, and the one that the kingdom is about. This is what the parables deal with. People in the kingdom, people that are working in the kingdom, people that are doing stuff in the kingdom, people that are, it's talking about the kingdom, and the one that it's about is the treasure of the kingdom, and that is Christ. We know that. Two times, Jesus gives his disciples parables here, right here, about a great treasure. You reckon he's trying to convey a point? I believe so. I believe he's trying to show them the great treasure. And we know the great treasure to be Christ. But he doubles it here. He doubles up on this parable between the hidden treasure and the costly pearl. We know that the kingdom of heaven has come, according to last week when we looked. The kingdom of heaven has come when we see these drastic changes in the life of a person. Last week we looked at the man who sought the treasure. Upon finding the treasure, what did he do next? Yeah, he sold out. Listen to what it says in 44. He found it, he sells all, and he buys it. So there's a drastic change that takes place in a person when the kingdom of heaven has come to that person's life. So the second parable is verse 45. Listen to what it says. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. In this one we see that he sought, that he found, that he sold all, and that he bought. This is not a point that I have to convey to you again, even though I'm going to. Because there's only two verses here. And Jesus is telling us the same thing, but there's a little bit of variation here, and we're gonna dig that out this evening. But I want you to see, as we begin this parable in 45 and 46, you see the word there again. Everybody see that? Say amen if you say you see it. So he starts in 44 and gives the first parable. In the second parable, he says, again. What does that mean? It means that he's tying the second parable to the first one, right? He's conveying the same truth, but with a little different story, okay? And then we see it again in verse 47. Let's look at what verse 47 says. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. So, from 44 to 47, we see three parables, and Christ is going to give us these parables to illustrate a heavenly point. In that heavenly point that we're going to see tonight, we're going to see a progression. From the first one to the second one to the third one. It's going to progress as it goes. Yeah, they're all close to the same, but we're going to see a building, a progression as it goes. So you see where all of them are linked together. 45, it says, a merchant, a man, and this was a man that dealt in things worth value, something he could buy, something he could trade to build his wealth. He was a merchant. He was a man that went out and he was a man that sought the finest of the pearls. He was a merchant. The main point, lest we forget it, is what? That he sought, that he found, that he sold all, and that he bought. That's the main point, right? And what do we tack on to that main point? Is what he was doing it for, which was for what? The treasure being Christ Jesus. However, in this parable, unlike the first, we see a man that was not seeking a treasure, just some random treasure, but he knows what he is seeking. He knows exactly what he is seeking. We see a man that was a merchant seeking the finest of pearls. The finest of pearls. He didn't want some second-hand pearl. He didn't want a river pearl. I thought I'd done something really special for my wife, and they are special to her, and they're special to me. I bought her pearls one time. And they were pearls out of a river in Mexico, and they were beautiful pearls, but the quality of a pearl, and I didn't know this until after I bought them, but the quality of a pearl out of a river versus out of the ocean is two totally different things. Not to cheapen your present, honey. But this man knew what he was looking for. In our parable, Jesus is the pearl. He's the most rare, the most precious, the most valuable. He's the chiefest among 10,000 to my soul. He's the chiefest of 10,000s upon 10,000s of my soul. He is the rarest and he is the most beautiful. And this was what this man was looking for. And all those that truly seek him in the Word of God will find him. Here's the good news. The good news is that we have a treasure map. Remember in the first one there was a treasure, in the second one there's a treasure as well. We understood that in the first one that the field was the Word of God. We have a treasure map. It's called God's Word. We have a treasure map. It has diagrams. It's an atlas for the soul. It is a road map. It has pictures and parables and foreshadows and types, shadows, examples, stories, lineages, bloodlines, prophets, priests, kings, even creation, pointing us to the great treasure, which is Jesus. We would have to be absolute fools not to see what this word right here is written about. I mean, if a blind hog can sniff out an acorn, don't you think that we can at least pick up 66 books and see that it's about Jesus? Of course, he is the great treasure. There's no doubt. He is the costly pearl. There is no doubt. But I want us to see that they're building upon each other. The first one was a treasure that was sought after, found, sold all, and bought. The second one was also a treasure, but most importantly, is told to us what that treasure was like, namely a pearl of great value. So we see a better picture than just a treasure buried. We see something that we can imagine. It's a pearl. Something that's small, but it's rare, it's beautiful, it's fine, it's costly. It's something worth selling out for. It'll cost you everything. And to get it, you'll require everything. He will require everything of you. This treasure here we see is described as a pearl. A pearl that was in the world. and only sought out and by the one desiring it. Now the pearl had been around for some time. The pearl had been around for some time, and I don't want to get into too many parts of this parable and try to get too deep into it, but the pearl had been around for some time. Some went after lands. They went after trying to obtain lands and farms. Some went after money. But this man went after the greatest of all pearls. No comparison. He wasn't a dummy. He knew what pearls looked like. He knew what they should look like. He knew quality. And he knew it when he saw it. And so you see, you go from just a treasure now to a treasure that's a pearl. And then now we're going to go into the third parable, which is the dragnet. And I want us to see in the dragnet, it begins with what? Again. Again. So he's going to build from the treasure to the pearl, now to the dragnet. Listen to what it says. And it's actually going to be going back here to the wheat and the tares too. And Jesus is telling these disciples this. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up on the beach and they sat down, gathered the good fish in the containers, but the bad they threw away. The thing sought for first was a treasure. The second was the treasure identified, the pearl of the greatest of value. And now here we have Christ Jesus, and he's speaking to these primarily fishermen, and he's talking about the dragnet. Because the treasure, and then it's identified, and then we're going to see a distinguishing mark on those that have sold out and bought. Sold out everything and bought. And it's just like the gathering of the wheat and the tares. When we see here the fish that the dragnet's talking about, we see that there's some fish that are good. If you go into Little River right here behind my house and you put in and you take a dragnet, which you will probably get arrested if you did that. But if you take certain types of nets and you put them out, you go out there and you check them a couple of days later and you see that you have a lot of trash fish. They're not marketable. The Asian carp. I've seen fishermen take baseball bats, and when they pull their nets up, they dump them out in the boat, and the Asian carp are flopping around everywhere, and they take their bats and they start thump, 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 throwing them back, feeding them to the turtles. Why? Because they're not marketable. But they take the catfish and the white perch. Some of y'all caught that. They take those because they're good. Because they're marketable. And they keep them. Right? Everybody following me? What's the separating mark between the good and the bad? Remember, they look the same. Remember, he was talking to hypocrites that wore the mask and looked religious. Remember, they look the same. The weeds and the wheat, the tares and the wheat, they look the same. But he said, let them grow together. Remember, the dragnet was set out and it pulled up all sorts. And in the end, there will be people. And there is a distinguishing factor. There is a distinguishing line. There will be a separation, if you will, between the wicked and between the righteous. And the separating factor is this. Those that sold out for Jesus Christ will be those that are righteous. And those that did not will be cast back into the sea. They will be cast into the lake of fire that burns for all eternity, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm never dies, where it is reserved for the wicked. Those that did not love Jesus, those that did not want Jesus, those that did not seek after Jesus, those that could have cared less about Jesus, they will be cast into the lake of fire. So we see the three parables again and again and again. And each one builds the first is the treasure. The second is a pearl, which is the treasure. And then the third is the distinguishing mark is this. Those that sold out and those that bought are those that will be kept in God's containers. Listen to what it says. And when it was filled in 48, they drew it up on the beach and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad they threw away. So it will be in the end of the age. The angels shall come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous. Until then, our job is to continue to preach. Our job is to continue to let down the net. Our job is to continue as Christians to even continue to seek after the pearl, to seek after His treasures, to seek after who He is, what He is, and what He's done for us. Our job is to continue to preach the Word of God and let down our drag nets. Our job is to do this. It is not to judge who is righteous and who is wicked. The Lord will decide that on that last and final day. He will separate the goat from the sheep. He will separate the wheat from the tares, the good fish from the bad fish, the leaven from the unleavened. He'll separate the good bread from the bad bread. I promise you, there will be a distinguishing factor, and it's those that love Jesus. Those that don't will be cast into hell. You cannot get around it. So you have the first, you have the second, and then you have the third. The wheat, the sheep, the tares, the all these things, Christ is trying to get this message across to His disciples because they're fixing to embark on one of the greatest things that ever hit this planet, and that is the gospel message. They're fixing to share it to the world and turn the world upside down, and they had to be able and be ready to share it. 50, let's go to 50. It says, and we'll cast them into the furnace of fire. Jesus talks about this a lot. There will be weeping. That's crying, right? Yes. Gnashing of teeth. That's biting. Furnace of fire. That's hot. Yes. Not a good place. No. It's there for those that are wicked.
Yes.
Well, the scripture teaches us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Yes,
but there's a distinguishing mark on those that are and those that are not.
Yes.
And that distinguishing mark is Christ.
Amen.
Plain and simple. Listen to what it says. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. 51. I love Jesus. I love how He talks to His disciples here. Because these parables were not easy. They were easy in story and story format when He's telling it. But the deep truths and wisdom, the kingdom wisdom that He is imparting is something that they are going to have to mull over in their occupation that He's called them into. Listen to what He says in 51. Have you understood all these things? Remember how it started in 36? His disciples came to Him saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And then in 51, Jesus wants to make sure they understand. And He says, have you understood all these things? He wasn't making fun of them. He was teaching them. And I love how Jesus just sits down and He's teaching His disciples. He says, have you understood all these things? Their answer was, yes. Yes. Let's move on. 52. And He said to them, therefore... And then it gets kind of weird in 52 to us, not to them. I'm going to give you an example before I go any further. I got a brother-in-law that every time he buys a new gun, he lives in Kentucky and his guns are his treasures. I mean, he just loves his guns. I mean, he loves Jesus. Don't get me wrong, but he has guns and he loves to play with guns and shoot them and buy them and talk about them. And, you know, he just loves to talk about that stuff. And every time I go to his house, he comes out and he says, hey, when the kids ain't around, hey, come here. I want to show you something. Takes me where they're at. And he says, look at this beauty. I want you to look at this thing. Look at this gun. You know what I gave for that? I traded X amount of... And he goes on and he goes on and it goes on and on. And it never stops. It's always about another gun. He may even do it about a truck. Listen to what he says here in 52. So I can explain this a little bit better to you. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. Let me explain it. Jesus ends by telling his disciples or scribes of the kingdom of heaven. They're scribes of the kingdom of heaven. They're going to be the ones responsible for administering the gospel message to the world. Scribes of the kingdom of heaven. Ministers of the gospel. And their responsibility, like the head of the homes bringing out, like my brother-in-law bringing out those guns, their responsibility was to bring out the greatest treasure that's been ever known, the greatest pearl that's ever hit the planet, the greatest thing that's of most value. Their responsibility as scribes of the kingdom of heaven was to bring out Jesus Christ to those that they encountered. Do you follow what I'm telling you? That was their responsibility. And this is what Jesus is telling them. They are to bring this treasure out. Treasure of old and treasure of new. As we dig a little deeper into this parable, we see that what Christ is referring to is Himself. As the treasure that's brought forth. The treasure out of the Old Testament. But also the New Testament that was being portrayed right in front of them. This treasure was to be preached. It was to be taught. It was to be shared. It was to be given. Just as the head of the home brings out the treasure and shows it to everybody, the disciples' jobs and what Jesus was calling them to do in their occupation was to take Christ in the Word of God and to bring Him out in such a way that people could understand it and that people could receive the message of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And this is what He's telling them. The distinguishing factor here, we have three parables between the righteous and the wicked, and it's all His disciples' job. Their job is to preach Jesus Christ and to preach Him out of the old and out of the new. To preach all of Him. To preach everything. Our job, ladies and gentlemen, is no different today. No different today. Our job, He has called us as disciples of the kingdom of heaven. You say, I'm a disciple of the kingdom of heaven? Yeah. If you love Jesus and you have trusted in Jesus and Jesus has saved you, then you are a disciple of the kingdom of heaven without a shadow of a doubt.
Amen.
But you have a responsibility. Just as the head of the house brought out his treasure, you're to bring yours out as well. What's your treasure? Is it Jesus? Or is it not? There's the distinguishing factor. Is it Christ? Is it the pearl? Is it the treasure of the field? Or is it not? There's the distinguishing factor. And so tonight, you look at the hidden treasure, you look at the costly pearl, and you look at the dragnet. They each build upon one another. And ultimately, Jesus is telling them, I am the treasure. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Which one will you bring out? Which one will you share with the world? Which one will you sell out for and buy? Something of the world or Christ Jesus? Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight and we thank you.